Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, my guest, Shira Sakharam, is red hot for the Messiah. I'm speaking to her at Tel Aviv, Israel, where she has been a citizen and lived in Israel for over 40 years. Shira, I remember many, many years ago, and you just refreshed my memory, that was back in 1973, just before the Yom Kippur War, you had your own Yom Kippur War. Tell me what happened.
Well, I was living in Jerusalem, and there was a gal, a Jewish gal from Britain, who had come to know the Lord in Britain. So her parents sent her to Israel, trusting that she would forget all the stuff about Yeshua if she lived in Israel. So she came here, and somehow, I don't remember how, but I met her, and she moved in with me and lived with me for some time. Meanwhile, I went for a trip to the States, and when I came back, I found she was engaged to a young man, also a Messianic Jew. Well, when her family heard that their daughter was engaged to a Messianic Jew, they absolutely blew their top. And there were other relatives of her, aunts and uncles, that were already in Israel, besides her own family in Britain. And so they went to the Orthodox newspapers, and they said, we have a missionary on this street, and she is taking tracks to the Western Wall and passing them out there. She's taking tracks to the university and passing out tracks there to the university students, and she's got to be stopped. Well, that appeared in one of the Orthodox newspapers, and it was an incitement to violence. And a couple of days later, I heard a big explosion. I was on the third floor of a building where I lived. And I opened the door, and the whole stairwell was very, very badly on fire. And I immediately thought, I wonder if the place is going to burn down. And then that was the only way I could get out, was through that stairwell. So I called the police, and they got there very quickly. And there happened to be a newspaper man that was walking by, in his car going by, and he stopped, and after they put the fire out, he came up in the stairs, and he said, what in the world's going on? And I said, well, I believe this has happened because of my faith in Yeshua the Messiah. Well, the next day, in Yediot Ahronot, which is the number one newspaper, on the back of it, it said, it showed my picture and said, I believe in the God of Israel, and he speaks to me. I don't know where he got that from, but something in my conversation. So here it was, you know, that God is speaking to me. But it went from newspaper to newspaper. I actually had not been to the Western Wall passing out tracts, nor had I been to the university. But that got a lot of publicity. In fact, it actually went all around the world.
No, I read about it in the United States. It made the major newspapers. But how in the world do your parents put up with their daughter in Israel, and a bomb is put in her house to kill her? How could they let you stay there, Shira?
Well, listen, Sid, I was 27 years old, so
I don't care. My daughter's older than that right now, and I wouldn't wonder if someone's trying to bomb her.
Well, I don't know. I just felt God would protect me. I felt I was there in his will. And I was there for a purpose. I began to see this purpose little by little as I stayed in Israel. I certainly didn't know it at the beginning. But I simply felt that I was where I was supposed to be, and that was it.
Shira, you have been in Israel for 40 years, but there are many people listening to us that don't know the history of Israel from just a little bit before you even got there. I wonder if you'd give us a synopsis.
Well, the Holy Land is the Holy Land. Everybody knows the Holy Land is a place that God gave to the Jewish people through Abraham. He says, I give it to you and your descendants forever. And so Israel had it, but Israel sinned. And so the Lord said, if you sin, Israel, you will be scattered throughout the whole world. But when you come back to the Lord, then I will gather you from the four winds, and I will bring you back to your own land. Well, if anybody ever wanted to know whether God could keep his promises, here, after 2,000 years of the Jewish people being tossed out of their own land, and even though there were a few Jews always in the Holy Land, most were not here. They were scattered around the world. Now, the Turkish Empire had this land. It was called the Ottoman Empire. Had it from 1453 to 1917. That's over 400 years. They ruled all this area. They ruled Egypt. They ruled the Mediterranean area. They ruled all of this area. But in World War I, Britain, and as you know, the Allies won, and so the Ottoman Empire disappeared, and the Middle East was divided up between England and France. So here we have the whole area of the Holy Land. So in 1922, the British wrote a letter to the Jewish people and said, we favor having the Holy Land as a homeland for the Jews, 1922. However, it wasn't long before those who came to power in Britain decided not to do that. And they divided 76% of Jordan, of this Holy Land, into an area called Jordan. And in 1946, folks, 1946, that's a year after World War II, Jordan became a nation, taking 76% of the whole Holy Land, leaving 24%. And so Israel was hoping that they would, the Jews were hoping that they would get that land. But then the British decided that they would divide it up again. It became a very nasty, messy place because the Arabs were saying, we don't want any Jews here. The Jews were saying, yes, but this is the land that you that God promised us and that you promised it. So in 1947, the British handed it over to the United Nations. The United Nations divided it up between Israel and the Arabs. Israel accepted it. The Arabs did not accept it. And that is when the wars started. 1948, Israel declared its independence and said, we do accept what the United Nations said. The Arab says, we do not accept what the United Nations said. And from that time on, there has been war over this area of the Holy Land.
How, in your mind, will the Palestinian problem be settled? In the mind of most of the people in the West, the only way it can be settled is a two-state solution of the tiny sliver of land that Israel currently has.
Right. Sid, I don't think that there's any solution to this. I just don't see a solution coming. I think that it's going to go on and get worse and worse for Israel. If you want to know what Israel is most afraid of besides Iran, it's the United Nations, because the United Nations pounds away at Israel. Whatever is happening.
Why do they pound away at Israel? It's obvious they do it. Why?
Well, it's very simple. Somewhere around 50 nations are in the Arab League. It's not exactly that number, but around that, in the Arab League. And they all vote as one group. And then there's the Muslim countries that are another great, huge group. And when you put those two together, the Arab League and the Muslim countries, they have, in almost every situation, a majority in the United Nations, and they simply run the United Nations.
So what is going to happen, in your opinion?
Well, this September, the Palestinians in the West Bank say that they are going to demand their own country, without negotiating with Israel. Now, what that means, they're saying, we're going to have our own country, but we will not recognize Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state. We will not accept Israel's claim of defenses that she needs, like certain borders where she can defend herself. And so we're just going to declare our own state. And then, you know what can happen. If Hamas takes over the West Bank, which it very likely will, then we will have rockets coming out of the West Bank, just like we have rockets coming out of Gaza all the time.
So what is going to happen? Will the world then legislate a two-state solution to avoid this? I mean, the UN looks to me like they really want that state, a Palestinian state.
The only country that could stop this is the United States.
But with our current administration, I see that as little likelihood. We're out of time. Please consider being part of Project 77. And those that send $77 in, we will make you a member. But even more important, God is going to see that you're part of this great effort to reach Jewish people for the Messiah in America. And we're sending a bonus CD to everyone that sends in $77 called Four Signs of the Last Days. It is the warfare in four areas that the devil doesn't want to see so that the Messiah won't return. And most Christians don't even know what it is. To hear this week's interview in its entirety or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 315-21, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.